But here very, very soon. And here to tell us more about that, we've got Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us on the hotline. Michael, a pleasure as always. How are you today?
Doing great. As always, happy to talk to you guys.
Well, before we get into what we just mentioned with California TV and film shoots, getting back at it at the end of the week, I want to start with a couple of ESPN 30 for 30s. And, of course, everybody kind of loved The Last Dance. You and I spoke off-air about that. You know, you being a big Pacers fan and the way that Jordan kind of had his way with some of your Pacers team. And, of course, you know, our Cavaliers here don't have many nice things to say about Michael Jordan either. The two of us kind of share the same opinion on The Last Dance, but there are some other really nice productions. One actually made its debut last night about Bruce Lee. Let's start with that one. What are you hearing about this documentary?
It's good. I had a chance to watch it, and as someone who obviously knew what an icon Bruce Lee is and has seen his movies, but didn't truly know too much about Bruce Lee the person, it was really just a fantastic portrait of him that really humanizes him and separates the person from the icon. And I thought that was just really fantastic. I think it's also been kind of a nice reply to his portrayal last summer in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's seen as sort of a hothead who's pretty arrogant and pompous. And I think that this documentary really kind of dispelled a lot of that. Honestly, I could have watched maybe two or three parts of this, like The Last Dance, or even just like the Lance Armstrong documentary that they had been airing the 2 weeks before that. I think there were a few things that were just sort of glossed over, or we got kind of the big picture thing, a big picture view of it. But really a fantastic documentary, and really interesting to come out at a time where it's discussing how he really faced a lot of systemic racism in Hollywood, and how that kept him from climbing into being a major star, and always kind of kept him as a sidekick as opposed to being a major feature player in some major films. So it's very good. It's a really interesting watch for movie fans, for sports fans who admire his athleticism, and just for anyone interested in learning more about a real icon.
I have not had the opportunity to check that out. I plan on doing that throughout the course of the week, but this one coming up on Sunday, I can't wait for this. Long Gone Summer, which of course gets into the summer of 1998 with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. And if you're a baseball fan, this sounds like it is a must watch for sure. Michael, I can't begin to tell you how jacked I am for this, because that was my senior year of high school. And I just remember that year being glued to my television set when McGwire and Sosa just kind of captivated every baseball fan throughout the summer.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this. I grew up in a long line of diehard Chicago Cubs fans, and so watching Sammy Sosa that summer when I was still a kid was unbelievable. I remember keeping a tally of both of their home runs. It was in the newspaper every day. And I think, similar to The Last Dance, it's a really cool chance to kind of revisit a major moment in sports history that I think for a lot of baseball fans, a lot of just general sports fans who remember that time, remember it as being so big and important. But for a lot of younger sports fans and newer sports fans, they may not remember that. And so the chance to kind of revisit that excitement. I really think that it's a great filler right now when we don't have baseball. I think that it doesn't seem like it's going to shy away from talking about the steroid use and some of the other controversies that swirled around it. But like you, I'm just very excited to kind of get back into that moment, first of all, but also start to learn some of the things behind the scenes, like we did with The Last Dance, that were going on in a summer that, like you said, I think most baseball fans remember as being one of the most spectacular seasons of certainly our lifetimes, and if not ever.
Well, and what's fascinating about the subject matter here is that while I think at the time, and maybe we can still apply this to today, I mean, this is, you know, going back 22 years, I think the narrative isn't nearly as awful as maybe it would have been 5 or 10 years ago because of the steroid use and all of that good stuff. But, you know, these are two guys in Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire that you don't necessarily see out in the public eye as much anymore. Now, McGwire, of course, has had a couple of stints as a hitting coach here and there in the big leagues, but not necessarily the kind of guy that wants to be out in the public eye often. And I think there are probably a wide variety of different reasons for that. Sammy Sosa looks totally different for those that haven't seen him. So having seen some of the snippets of this already, I was a little surprised to see that both guys who, again, haven't recently spent much time in the public eye were ready and willing to do this. Michael, did that surprise you at all?
Absolutely. I think you nailed it on the head that both of them, particularly since the Senate hearings that brought them in front of Congress to talk about steroids, really put a pretty big tarnish on their legacies, has held both of them back from Hall of Fame consideration. And obviously, we've seen the same debate with Barry Bonds as well. So I think you're right. I think that 5 years ago, there would be a totally different perception on these two guys and on their steroid use. I think that there's a lot of people who are sort of considering the steroid era for what it is and how to incorporate that into baseball history as opposed to just writing it off now or putting an asterisk like that has been talked about before. But, yeah, I mean, Mark McGwire hasn't really opened up a lot. He may have been able to use his coaching experience as an excuse, but has certainly been quiet. And Sammy Sosa, I think it was last summer, the year before, he did a long sit-down interview on ESPN, and it made really big headlines in the baseball world because he's been so quiet and because he kind of came out so defensive. And like you said, has seemingly his appearance has changed quite dramatically as well, and he addressed that. And so, there's just so much mystery around these two guys and so many questions that haven't been answered since their kind of fall from grace with steroids. So I think it's going to be a really illuminating story about these two guys in particular in this moment, but also how baseball is confronting that steroid era as a whole.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Michael, sounds like California TV and film shoots could restart at the end of this week. I guess two questions come out of this. Number one, are there any projects in particular that you can think of that will be streamlined? And number two, how safe do you think this is?
Well, that is both of those are questions that are still very much up in the air throughout the industry at large. One of the big issues in California is that they decided to, yes, reopen film shoots this week, but basically leave everything up to county and local authorities and local administration. So there is a question as to whether or not Los Angeles County will actually open up for any production at the end of this week. That's still up in the air. And also, it's really up in the air as to how they're going to be doing this, what sort of safety precautions are going to be in place. I think it's safe to say that you'll see crew members and people wearing masks and gloves, hand sanitizer, all of those same sort of precautions that we've been taking in everyday life. You'll probably also see temperature checks and that kind of thing. But another major issue is that all of the major guilds and unions in Hollywood, the Screen Actors Guild, directors, producers, the Teamsters who drive the trucks and do equipment, all of these guilds came together to kind of put together a list of things that they think should be required on film sets for safety. And so far, the governor of California and New York, both of them haven't accepted this proposal. They've, like I said, left it up to local authorities. So it really is sort of a patchwork approach to it, and I think there's a lot of questions. But there have been a lot of people speaking out about what it's going to look like. There's been a few private companies that are being hired by the major studios that basically have these autonomous robots that will go through sets during off hours and use ultraviolet light to help get rid of any bacteria and viruses. One of the proposals that these guilds all came together on was making sure that things as little as sanitizing wigs every day, of sanitizing props after they've been used, getting rid of buffet meals for cast and crew. So there's a lot of considerations there. And as far as streamlining, that still sort of remains to be seen. But One sort of proposal that we've seen that has made national news is Tyler Perry is reopening his massive new studio down in Atlanta for production and has proposed basically bringing in all of his local crew, testing them for the virus, and then having them stay on the studio lot in housing that's already there or housing that they would create for them, and basically keeping them in a bubble to keep producing different shows and keep pushing things out. But I think there's still a lot of questions there as far as like how crew are treated, what their hours look like, what their emergency pay looks like, all of that kind of thing. So unfortunately, there's still a lot more questions than answers, but it is encouraging to see production at least back on the table again and hopefully seeing some of our favorite shows and movies ramp up to start again.
Very encouraging indeed. All right, got to ask you about the King of Staten Island. This is something I think if you've been watching TV, you've probably seen a lot of the promos for this. It's gained a lot of steam. What do we know about this film and what should we be excited about?
I'm excited for this movie. It's Judd Apatow collaborating with Pete Davidson. It's Judd Apatow's first narrative feature since Trainwreck, so it's been a little while. He obviously has a pretty solid history of being kind of a kingmaker with comedians like Seth Rogen, Steve Carell, Amy Schumer. He worked with all of them, and they really had major career renaissances. So this is a big moment for Pete Davidson. The movie is a semi-autobiographical comedy drama that's based on Pete Davidson's real life growing up in Staten Island. He lost his father on 9/11. He was a firefighter. And so it's a story about that and his fictional character entering the world of comedy. Has a great cast. I mean, in addition to Pete Davidson, there's Bill Burr, Marissa Tomei, and Steve Buscemi, amongst others. So you can't really go wrong with that group. Overall, it sounds like this movie is going to be pretty good. It has a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, which I think it's pretty good for advanced reviews, and the consensus is that Pete Davidson is really great, and this is a really big career transition for him, but also that the movie is a little long and occasionally tonally inconsistent. So I can speak on that for sure after I have seen the movie myself, but certainly it sounds like something to check out if you're a fan of Pete Davidson or if you just are looking forward to another great Judd Apatow movie.
All right, Michael, well, we'll close out on this. I know that there's a pretty interesting June Netflix lineup, and we can kind of couple that in with this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week and into this weekend?
Well, a couple things coming to Netflix on Friday. First, Joe Coy has a new comedy special for all of these stand-up fans. And Bill Burr, bringing him up again, his animated show, F for Family, comes back on Friday, as well as the reality show Dating Around. But the big highlight this week on Netflix is The Five Bloods, Spike Lee's new movie. It's the story of four black veterans returning to Vietnam to look for a treasure and the remains of their fallen squad leader, who's played in flashbacks by Chadwick Boseman. I'm very excited for this. Spike's last movie, Black Klansman, was so good. This one's getting a lot of good buzz, and if you're a Netflix subscriber, it's free to watch this weekend, so some pretty big entertainment options coming up.
Great stuff. Michael, as always, we appreciate the time and we appreciate the insight, and we look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.